the issue of a Marcia Nardi, the issue of the thematics of being the female reader reading the male modernist, which is the subtitle of the Pink Guitar essay called Pater Daughter, or Pater Daughter, as some people say it, but because of Pater's son. I mean, this very bad pun, but effective. All those issues came after, really after 1970, when I started thinking in terms of gender and critical gender studies and feminist criticism. They were not, absolutely not. It was pre-feminist when I did the dissertation. It was enough to survive as a woman in the university at that point, much less invent feminist criticism, which, you know, it was kind of there. It was right under the surface that it was going to happen, but only if you could read the signs.
I'm wondering, just to go back to Nardi, one of the things that I wanted to ask you is that, you know, going back and looking at the, you know, researching exactly how he appropriated those letters and exactly what he edited out. You know, for example, Teddy Graham says that he basically made her a little bit more shrill than she actually is in the letters, right?
Right.
So there's this idea that he is appropriating and he is fessing up to something, but he's also creating a character.
Absolutely.
And so I wanted you to maybe talk about that, but I was also thinking about that in terms of the fact that, you know, a lot of your work is about subtraction and addition and erasure and how that,
right,
you know, and the dynamics of that. So,
right.
I mean, so
right.
Maybe you could sort of talk about those things in tandem.
Yeah, I'd have to go back to the Nardi letters. They are in print. Iowa put them in print, and they were published in 1994, the Nardi Williams letters. I would have to actually look hard at them to see whether I agreed with Teddy Graham. I think I thought I agreed with her when I originally read her article and, you know, read the letters. There's probably no doubt whether he was using Patterson as a brief against Nardi. I don't really think so. That is, it would not surprise me that he made her more shrill or something. That would be kind of part of the normal way of treating things of the time. I'm not excusing it. I'm just saying, as it were. She does become a character serving a function for him. The frustrated female figure, the artistically frustrated female figure, who nonetheless possesses real power, in fact, power to call him out, because what he leaves in is rage against him and against a sense that he, believe it or not, which he did not, was part of a system, like a literary system, that was excluding her. So the figure retains dimensionality, and his use retains dimensionality. That's what's curious. At one point, I really wanted to write on Nardi, and so I have these things were sort of more in my head. She had a book published. She did do some poems. She was one of these figures in the 40s, the 40s and the 50s. There are all these lost women, and they were often lost because they couldn't fight what was basically large-scale sexism on their own. There are tons of them. Every time you turn around, you find another one. This is it's actually a very interesting moment. After the 30s, in which women, let's say, who were left-wing, were relatively more active. And after the 20s, when women entered the university in some quantity larger than was true until, I think it was the next good statistic is the 70s for PhD, achievement of PhD. Not that that's the only benchmark of life here, but, you know, there is a great trough, and that trough is filled with some extremely good artists and some artists who couldn't make themselves even good who are female. I mean, for example, people are always, you know, they're like stumbling over them. Oh, look, Annie Alpers was really a great artist. Of course, she was only allowed to do weaving at the Bauhaus, and when she came to Black Mountain with her husband, Josef Alpers, you know, he is the great artist whom we all remember, but oh my God, her work is so good. Or, you know, or Hans Arp's wife, I can't now, I'm blocking on her name. Oh, she was also really, you know, just one after another. And I was interested in writing about Nardi and Bolderf, Olsen's inspiration. And I kind of wrote about Boldareff. I never got back to Nardi, except in The Pink Guitar. I might. So I can't... I think these relationships are very flexed, and the women were really disabled at the same time that a lot of their abilities went into their rage rather than into their... They fought until they kind of lost it, and then they couldn't do any more artistically. But the system was so against recognizing them that it's sort of no wonder. And they were, in effect, you know, they were artists before their time in that context. It's kind of an amazing story. And, you know, all you have to do is just start looking under any... you know, any rock, you know, any artistic rock in artistic groups, in relationships with male figures, they're everywhere. And the women who survived, it's a miracle. That's, you know, literally, and you can even see it even into the early 60s. The women whom we now know in the New York School as being very significant and brilliant, important careers, Alice Notley, Anne Waldman, Bernadette Mayer, were survivors out of a vast plethora, you might say, or vast, it might be, a very large group of people who did not.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think enabled that?
I haven't, if I could tell you, I would bottle it. I think in many, you know, I think one is forced into overgeneralizations, an even greater degree of stubbornness than normal, possibly some okay, not too damaging relationships with male figures with whom they were attached, if they were attached to men. I wouldn't, you know, an enormous amount of artistic will, even more than the normal in any gender.